Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin.
Elizabeth.
Burnett.
What up, Clyde?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
You all right?
Yeah. Glad to be back by your side. How you doing?
I am so good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Do I not look all right?
No, you look great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just want to make sure. Dave, you good today?
I'm good.
All right. Good. Listen.
Yo.
Listen, fella. You know what's ridiculous?
I do.
Oh.
Yes, I totally do. Oh my God, do I know. Okay. There was a drink called The American.
Okay.
You ever heard of this?
I don't know.
It was a drink that was the favorite drink of Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Cary Elwes once told Vanity Fair about this, and he said the, quote, the famed wrestler preferred something stiffer, specifically the American. What is the American, you ask, Elizabeth?
I'm scared.
It was 40 ounces of various liquors poured into a pitcher. 40 ounces.
That's 40 ounces to freedom right there.
Yes, and apparently he would just chug these, right? But that's not all. He also, like, was known to drink. So all of his wrestling buddies, they all have, like, these crazy stories of him drinking.
Liquor, like
hard
brown liquor?
Brown liquor. Here's another one for you. Andre the Giant, right? He's going to go on a bus ride in Japan. He's, like, they're on a wrestling tour. Now, Hulk Hogan tells this story.
Oh, boy.
I went down to this little karaoke bar right down the street from the hotel, and I bought a case of Pui Fuse wine. 12 bottles, brother, of this very powerful, powerful, strong white French wine. All of a sudden, we left the hotel about 8 in the morning for an 8-hour bus ride. About 3 hours later, he shakes the seat. He says, bus, I need pit stop. 3 hours on a bus, he drank 12 bottles of wine. 12 bottles, Elizabeth.
12
of
bottles,
wine.
Brother.
Dude, do you know how much liquor that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, but like, stop and back up for a second. These big wrestler men went and bought white wine for a bus trip.
Pui Fuse, white wine. I'd like 12 Pui Fuse.
He's like, do you have any buttery shard? No, I'll take the Pui Fuse.
The French stuff, the good French stuff, brother. So he also at the Tampa airport, he apparently drank 108 12-ounce beers. Another Hulk Hogan story.
No, that's,
yes.
That's not true.
Hulk Hogan said he sat down and watched him drink and he counted them.
His do-rag's too tight.
At one, no, there's
108?
More. Yes, there's way
no.
more. He once drank
no.
gallons,
no.
Elizabeth. I'm telling you. The numbers, look up Andre the Giant's drinking and your eyes will fall
it's
out of your brain.
It's all exaggeration.
Yes, well, there you go.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
There's just no way. Do you want to know what else is ridiculous?
Oui, poussé, brother.
Signal jacking. Again?
Yeah!
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
You're damn right.
Do you remember when I told you about the Max Headroom broadcast interruption?
Yes, of course.
You remember that?
Yeah, totally. I was here. You were there.
It was a good
Dave
one.
Was over there.
What was your third favorite part?
Oh, probably the impressions that you did.
Sure. When I told you that story, yes. I also told you about Captain Midnight.
Yeah, you did. Totally
and that's
did.
The guy that was protesting the HBO rate increases.
Yes, yeah.
He ran
down
that,
in the south somewhere.
Yeah, he ran that satellite place in Central Florida.
There you go, Central Florida.
So I told you about the whole concept of broadcast interruption. It's mm-hmm. cool. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Totally cool, totally legal, totally
it's
cool.
Totally legal, totally cool, totally illegal. When someone hijacks a broadcast signal, mm-hmm. radio, television stations, cable TV, broadcast feeds, satellite signals.
Mm-hmm. Signal piracy, one might call it.
Yeah, it's without permission, mm-hmm. no license. And this goes from like local TV and radio all the way up to cable and national
to the
stuff.
Tip top.
Zarin, it goes all the way to the top.
Stratified air, Elizabeth.
Yeah. So radio stations, they get hit more often than TV stations because it's easier to do. And while it seems like it would be harder to hijack a digital signal than like the old analog, mm-hmm. There is such a thing as cyber attacks, Zarin.
Oh,
did
right.
Did you ever think of that?
I think I've heard about those.
No one is safe.
There's the cybers and they're
the
attacking.
The cybers and the hackers.
They're attacking, Elizabeth, the cybers.
You know who might be safe for like streaming services?
Yes.
But maybe you can
maybe.
Hack that. Hackers can do anything.
And oh, yeah, I believe in the hackers and the robots.
So do I. The nanobots, the nanobot hackers in my bloodstream. It's pretty much a victimless crime, this whole
signal jacking. Sure.
But a crime nonetheless. Flower nonetheless.
Of course.
As Ginsburg would say. I told you about two before. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch more for you. We're revisiting.
Oh.
We're going back to the well.
Bring it on back.
There it is. Let's start with some spicy stuff.
Yes, I love
you
the
like
spice.
Spicy stuff?
I'm like Dune over here. I love the spice.
The Playboy Channel.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. My. Starting out spicy.
It was Sunday, September 6th, 1987.
Ah, yes.
Folks were sitting down to watch a movie called Three Daughters, airing on the Playboy Channel.
Oh, Lord.
Let me read you the
that
synopsis.
So bad. Please read me the synopsis. Do you want me to read it to you?
Three sisters are budding sexually.
Oh my God, they got budding into that quickly?
Michelle finds love with her fiance. Jennifer falls for her piano instructor. And Heather invites her...
Tennis instructor.
Her best friend over to explore lesbian love.
Oh, I missed that angle. How could I miss that angle?
All this romance rekindles their parents' marriage.
Oh no!
It's so bad.
I smell all the estrus in the air. And
it was written and directed by a woman named Candida Royale.
Ooh, that's a lovely name.
And according to IMDb, she was also known for her role as protester in the film Stud Hunters.
You know, I was in Stud Hunters 4.
This all sounds so wholesome.
Totally.
You wrote for Playboy.
I did.
Stuff.
I did write for Playboy,
the
yes.
smut and such.
I was for years hired by the smut puddlers.
You were.
Yeah. I was a smut peddler, I guess.
You were.
I was, yes.
So like people, they settled in to watch Three Daughters.
Yes.
And then suddenly the screen went blank.
From my alma mater, yes.
From your alma mater. The screen went blank.
Oh, no.
In the middle of Three Daughters.
Three Daughters!
Wait, what's going to happen with the piano teacher?
If the parents will really rekindle their love.
Is she going to explore lesbian love? Like, it's like a new country.
She's got her passport.
Yeah.
Let the girl in.
Then text appeared.
Uh-oh.
Thus saith the Lord thy God, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a little bit of the Exodus, a little bit of Matthew,
yeah,
a little before and
up.
After. So
you know,
that's one way to take the wind out of the viewer's sails.
Totally, but the Old Testament, really a sexy book. I mean, there's a lot of just
there's a lot
smashing
of smut.
And passing and smut
there
in that
really
one.
Is. I think this is hilarious.
I bet
obviously,
you do.
I'm finding this hilarious, but the FCC did not.
Oh, right.
They thought it was a crime.
Joy kills.
I know. I just think about like some of the people watching this would have some sort of like Christian guilt.
Oh, I think a lot.
For watching.
Yes.
This smut.
I put a high percentage.
And like watching the marriage get rekindled.
Yes.
And then to have like a Bible message come up, just like, oh my God, the complexes that were born. Okay, so anyway, since the message was religious in nature, mm-hmm. the FCC immediately looked at religious broadcasters.
Oh.
And that led them to the Christian Broadcasting Network.
That was actually a good hunch on their part?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
They had motive, means, opportunity.
Of course. I don't know why I looked past them.
And it turns out that jamming the signal left trace technical clues.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So those clues showed
up. What were they?
It showed up as on the VHS recording made at the Playboy Channel's uplink during the broadcast. So apparently they were like, Three Daughters looks really good. Let's tape this while we're playing it. So I can take it home.
Wait, Playboy is recording their own content with the VHS?
And then the VCR is flashing 12. Totally. And they're just like, I'll save this for later. I want to know what happens with the piano teacher. I love the work of Candida Royale.
It's one of the my favorites, a real avant-garde leader.
Basically, it left a fingerprint on the video.
Oh, okay.
And then there were fingerprints on the video case.
A lot of fingerprints, I'm betting.
This allowed the investigators to ID the brand of transmitter and the character generator in the video.
Oh, yes, the text generator.
Yeah, so it was like the metadata, as we say now.
Okay.
So they had CBN dead to rights. They're like, it's the Christians. And who was the uplink engineer at the CBN offices in Virginia Beach, Virginia, when the hijacking went down?
Jerry Glanville.
No. A fellow by the name of Thomas Haney.
Oh, Tom, I was close.
Tommy Haney. So CBN said that there were no witnesses and the evidence was flimsy at best.
Okay.
And then they had this investigation and experts on each side tried to recreate the incident with CBN's equipment.
Let's do it again.
They're like, put in Three Daughters. Let's do it again.
Put it on the big screen.
So apparently neither side was successful in recreating this. So they just had to keep watching the movie over and over again.
Try the text generator again. Turn it on, turn it off.
But a CBN spokesman named Dino McCann, he said there was just not enough power for Haney to jam Playboy's signal.
Oh,
he is like, they are but large Goliath Playboy, and we are David.
Small
we are
David
a small mustard seed.
With our tiny rock.
But then the expert witnesses.
Like, you know how that story ends.
It went to trial.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the expert witnesses were like, no, that's so not true. They have the power, more than just the power of the Lord. They can do this.
They can push a signal.
And so after initially being deadlocked, not dreadlocked, the jury found Haney guilty on 2 of 6 counts against him.
Oh, caught a third of the charges. Yeah.
He was acquitted of similar charges against him for interfering with American Ecstasy Channel. And that has 3 X's. E-X-X-X-T-A-S-Y.
So it was like one of the real,
that's got to be some gnarly
past
stuff.
Past Playboy on the dial.
Yeah, and it's got to be like the, oh, dear.
Yes.
Goodness. He went after American Ecstasy, and they were like, they were too powerful. Who knows? Whatever. Yeah. He gets acquitted of those. The recording of the hijacking for American Ecstasy was so low that it couldn't be used in court.
The recording?
Apparently they were recording it too.
Everyone's recording?
They were playing Six Daughters. They couldn't record it.
And using the same tape over and over again got so bad.
The quality of the tape was bad, and it probably also refers to the subject matter.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Haney got 3 years of probation, $1,000 fine, and 150 hours of community service.
Mm.
He was the first person convicted under a new federal law that made it satellite hacking a felony. Following the Captain Midnight incident.
So the
laws changed.
Precedents being set.
Yep. There was more porno interruption the next year. Although this one was the reverse.
Okay.
So it was October 15th, 1988, during the second inning of Game 1 of the 1988 World Series.
So you
know the game.
Yes.
Oakland A's at Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You know what happened.
I do. Do you want me to act it out?
My man Dennis Eckersley, don't you dare. He's on the mound, and that son of a piece, Kirk Gibson, pinch hit a walk-off home run, won the game.
People's hero.
Just thinking about it makes me mad.
I could be pumping my
Gibson arm. Was injured. Gibson was injured, or so they'd have us believe, and somehow he managed to get a hit off Eck, which is impossible.
Well, he's a classic for that. He did it with the Tigers.
He hobbles around the bases. He's pumping his fist like a midget.
I got to do it, Elizabeth.
L.A. crowd goes wild.
Oh, dude, I'm going wild right now.
I get it.
It was an amazing moment.
It felt incredible if you're on that side
totally.
Of the fence.
Totally. Are you kidding me?
Here's a fun Kirk Gibson fact.
Oh, yes.
He married his wife, Joanne, in 1985.
That is fun.
In a hooray! and the film Three Sisters played at the reception yes. in a double ceremony mm-hmm. where Tigers pitcher Dave Rozema married Joanne's sister Sandy.
Are they twin sisters?
I don't know, but they had a baseball double wedding.
His family just wanted to like save money. They're like, well, let's get them together.
Well, no, they marry them off to ball players.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At the same time, they're like, okay, there's
pretty
your dowry.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
So it's the first game of the 88 World Series, Dodgers mm-hmm. and A's. Mm-hmm. The pain has dulled for me about this okay. a little bit because now the A's are dead to me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's
You've
for
been
real.
Freed. Genie,
the
you're
moving
free.
To Vegas thing, but first, like going to a minor league park in Sacramento.
If they even make it there.
Taking the team, disrespecting yeah. the fans, and baseball writ large has mm-hmm. killed it for me.
With gap money, too.
I feel like I could do a whole episode about the criminal greed and ineptitude of A's owner, John Fisher.
I think you could.
I won't. I'm not going to give him the oxygen. Okay. I just give up. Anyway,
yeah.
1988. The NBC affiliate WMGT mm-hmm. in Macon, Georgia, mm-hmm. broadcasting the game. Suddenly, the feed was replaced with a 10-second clip of black and white porn.
Oh!
Yeah. People, understandably, were outraged. Not as outraged as when Gibson gimped it around the bases, but outraged to be sure.
Wrong scoring! Yeah. Wrong scoring!
So, the station's manager released a statement explaining that the broadcast intrusion was an accident and in no way deliberate. Mm-hmm. Still, he said the station was treating it as a serious matter.
Sure.
A 3-day investigation determined that the most likely cause was that the technician accidentally flipped the wrong switch on a master control panel.
So wait, he's in there working and watching something else and yeah. he hits the switch?
Well, no, they said that the NBC broadcast got switched from the KU band World Series carrying signal sure. over to the C-band X-rated material carrying satellite signal.
Sure.
He basically flipped the porn switch.
Okay.
Do they have that in an NBC station?
Just
Why?
A large dial.
Why? There are other theories that, mm-hmm. like, the technician was watching porn on a tape and he accidentally switched the broadcast.
Or, yeah, hit the fader, basically.
Yeah. It could have been a prankster.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a pro-porn organization responding to the attack on Playboy.
Organization. Yes.
That's my theory.
The porn defenders.
Yeah, the porn defenders were like, okay. you came at Playboy?
Yeah, we're coming
Watch
back.
This.
We'll interrupt your stuff for 10 seconds.
The station was like, no, uh-huh. accidental signal switch. They stuck with that. Hmm. They fired the technician.
Ah.
Now, some more porn for you.
Oh, hey.
May 2nd, 2007.
Yes.
Comcast customers in Lincroft, New Jersey, uh-huh. they had their feed hacked.
Okay.
Someone replaced the show Handy Manny.
Wait, which one's the porn?
That's what I was like. That's on Playhouse Disney, which like you're like Playboy Playhouse? No. Playhouse Disney.
Okay. Handy Manny.
Handy Manny, which like, oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. With hardcore porn. And
which was Mandy Handy.
Manny Handy. So Comcast said that it was investigating the event. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't announce the findings to the public, but then they got hit again, mm-hmm. This time in Tucson, Arizona, home of the Sonoran hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
So someone there
replaced, also likes dogs.
He replaced NBC affiliate KVOA's signal mm-hmm. with really graphic footage from the pornographic movie Wild Cherries 5.
Oh, wow. That's a classic. Wild Cherries 5. Nobody thought it has Wild Cherries 4. They could do anything else with the story. They're like, what else is there to
but
say?
But it was rethinking the entire franchise.
Rebooted the whole idea of sexy.
Now listen, though. It's no Three Daughters. it was only 28 seconds worth, but it was an important 28 seconds that a lot of people were watching.
A crucial point in
because
the story.
Because those, the Wild Cherries 5 28
seconds.
It's
the big
seconds.
Reveal. Don't give away the twist.
But what was it interrupting?
What was it
That's
interrupting,
the question.
Elizabeth?
It was in the fourth quarter mm-hmm. of Super Bowl 43 between the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow, good one. Good Super Bowl.
Yeah. So it's in Tucson, Arizona. So, like, the Arizona Cardinals are in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. 28 seconds of porn. Comcast said, quote, our initial investigation suggests this was an isolated malicious act. We are conducting a thorough investigation to determine who was behind this. They launched an investigation. Mm-hmm. The station did. February 4th, 2011, 2 years later, former Cox Cable employee Frank Tenori Gonzalez, he gets arrested by the FBI and local police for that hijacking.
Ooh.
That October, he pleaded guilty to 2 counts of computer tampering, uh-huh. sentenced to 3 years of probation, as well as a $1,000 fine to the Arizona Attorney General's Anti-Racketeering Fund.
What?
I know.
What, did they ever say why he did it?
porn.
He's just like pro porn.
He's like,
that's
he's like,
one he, for porn.
I feel like he'd like, you know, it'd be really funny. And then here he is.
The Super Bowl. Like, we just put on some hardcore action.
Exactly. In the Wild middle Cherries of the game. 5. You know, anyway, let's take a break.
All right.
When we come back, I got more for you.
Oh.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
As you know, the world can be a dangerous and unpredictable place. With every crime I've studied, I've learned one thing. Your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. You don't want to worry. You just want peace of mind. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. For every ridiculous robbery and theft we talk about, it's pretty obvious the crimes could be avoided with a solid security system. A good home security system keeps people prepared and aware. SimpliSafe is that system. It was named Best Home Security Systems 2024 by U.S. News and World Report. And it doesn't just protect your home from crime, it also alerts you to fire, floods, and other emergencies. They offer sensors and cameras backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There are no contracts, and there's a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Zarin.
Oh, yes, Elizabeth.
Hijacking of the airwaves.
Hi, I wasn't watching Cherry Blasters 4. Just want to let you know.
Big Cherry Blasters.
Just closing my laptop for other reasons.
Well, I got another one for you. It's more porn.
No, no.
March 16th, 2010.
Yes. Oh, God.
The Time Warner cable transmissions of both kids and kids preschool on demand.
Why do they go for the kids?
In the Research Triangle area of North Carolina, that's like Raleigh, Goldsboro.
Yeah, the Devil's Triangle.
They got replaced by Playboy TV.
Uh-huh.
And that went on for 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Other Time Warner cable systems in the area outside of the four counties affected, they just showed a black screen.
Okay.
But their porn force field was strong in the black screens. An executive from Time Warner said it was a technical malfunction that caused the wrong previews to be shown.
Previews.
2 hours of previews?
Previews?
No.
A lot of previews.
On kids' channels? Okay. Anyway, they were never able to catch anyone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not always porn, though. In 1995, Columbia University's radio station, WKCR, in New York City, they got hit late one night. There was a sudden high-pitched screeching noise, and then a woman's voice started reading obituaries of various people.
So Yoko Ono took the mic?
Well, people like Frank Oppenheimer, J. Robert Oppenheimer's brother.
Totally.
This is horrible, but the victims of Pan Am Flight 103, the Lockerbie bombing.
Oh, the Lockerbie,
bombing,
yeah.
Yeah, the flight got blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland. Someone's reading their obituaries. There's a debate as to whether the signal was actually hijacked or if it was a college radio prank. But either way, total violation of FCC. It's a big station. It's not some like little operation where it'd be easy to play around and get away with it. And it went on for a while. There's a recording of it, often referred to as the old tape or death tape, that made the rounds on 4chan a decade ago.
Oh, wow.
Not a lot is known about it, but at least it's not porn.
So it's like old Faces of Death VHS tape getting passed around sickos. It's
totally, like, totally. Now, did you know on February 11th, 2013?
Probably not.
There was a zombie apocalypse.
Definitely. See, I knew
did
I would
know
this.
That?
I did not know that.
Five different television stations. Yes. One's in Montana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and New Mexico. They got hijacked.
Okay.
First, they hit Great Falls, Montana.
Not Great Falls.
Yeah. It was the afternoon during the Steve Wilkos show.
Oh,
on
yeah.
CBS affiliate station KRTV.
I've heard the name.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is, but
I'm just
see
like a radio
it.
Person.
If I were to watch TV, I'd see it on the guide
it's
on the
there.
Cable thing when
there
I
you
came.
Go.
It was a voice message that said the following. Quote, civil authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living. Follow the messages on screen that will be updated as information becomes available. Do not attempt to approach or apprehend these bodies as they are considered extremely dangerous. This warning applies to all areas receiving this broadcast. Tune in to 9:20 a.m. to get updated information in the event that you are separated from your television or that the electrical service is interrupted. Civil authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living. Follow the messages. It repeats and repeats.
It's well written. It sounds like
it
bureaucratic.
It sounds real. Yeah. And like, imagine if
except
you're not
for
so
the
swift.
Bodies
and
of the living.
You're a little
and
gullible.
Dead, yeah.
You go, oh my gosh.
Oh no, kids, run. Well,
and later that day,
get your go bags.
The CBS, ABC, PBS stations in Marquette, Michigan.
Okay, yes.
And La Crosse, Wisconsin. They had their emergency alert system hijacked with the same message.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little while later, the PBS station in Portales, New Mexico got interrupted.
Oh, wow. Distant.
It's all over the place. The hacker was caught the next day.
Oh.
Yeah. It was apparently a backdoor attack thanks to the fact that the stations didn't change the default factory logins and passwords on their emergency alert system equipment.
So they just tried
they
everyone.
They did like admin, admin.
Yeah,
and then they got right in and
they just went around all the,
There are more noble hijackings.
Sure.
In September of 1985, four Polish astronomers at the University of Turin used a home computer, a synchronizing circuit, and a transmitter to run messages in support of the Solidarity Labor Movement over state-run television broadcasts.
So they're in like Turin, Italy?
No, T-O-R-U-N.
Oh.
Poland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the message is read, enough price increases, lies, and repressions. Solidarity, Turin. I'm probably not saying it
but
right.
It doesn't
I never
matter.
Say anything
I just,
right.
I probably didn't hear it right.
And then, quote, it is our duty to boycott the election. So they were like, bold.
Yeah, they're using it to protest. I like it.
The astronomers got busted. And they were charged with possession of an unlicensed radio transmitter and publication of materials that could cause public unrest.
Like, inciting a riot.
Yeah, and at their sentencing, the judge noted that these were like prize-winning astronomers.
Yeah, why not?
And
they fight too.
They're like the core of the Polish scientific community.
Good on them.
So he gave them probation and a fine that was the equivalent of like $100 each.
Okay.
Whew.
Way to use your fame.
Let's stay over in the Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
This sort of thing happened a lot
did
over there in the 70s
over there?
And 80s. No. Soviet porn.
Soviet porn? I'm just wondering.
It's just
for
all
the people.
Gray and like. So, Borscht Blasters 5. Sometimes they tried to like hoax that the US had launched nukes. That was a very common one.
Lenin's
like,
daughters,
oh, no.
too. Sorry.
So, anyway,
yes.
They and like the hijacking there, it wasn't just like one-offs. There were frequent flyers, like guys who were like, they did it all the time.
Oh, it's just their thing.
And they had names like Cucumber, Radio Millimeter, Green Goat, and Fortune.
Oh, so they're like super early hackers.
Yeah. And they'd take over the signal on radio relay stations to either like override it or they'd slip in during breaks in broadcasting. And they were referred to in the state-run press as, quote, radio hooligans broadcasting drivel, rudeness, vulgarity, uncensored expressions, and trashy music.
Did they play like Chuck Berry?
Probably.
Okay.
Like, it was just like the worst Two Live Crew tracks you could imagine.
Early.
I'm going to guess that if they were caught.
Digital Underground.
Yeah. If they were caught, it probably wasn't pretty.
No, I'm probably not, no.
So while radio hijacking may have been like noble.
No radio in the gulags.
Anti-totalitarian
yeah,
effort in the Eastern Bloc, In the U.S., we just kept it trashy.
No, oh, that's we what we do best.
We focused on the trash. On Wednesday, May 17th, 2006, the signal of Babylon, New York FM radio station WBAB was hijacked for 90 seconds.
WBABS!
Hijackers overrode the programming to play the song N-Word Hatin' Me.
Whoa.
Yeah. By a 60s white supremacist country singer called Johnny Rebel. Yeah. The morning.
Well, who's your grandfather? Turns out he's a 60s white supremacist country singer named Johnny
His
Rebel.
His biggest hit was N-Word Hatin' Me. The morning drive time host, and that's with a hard R.
Oh, I'm guessing.
Yeah. The morning drive time host, Roger Luce, he said, quote, I've never seen this in 22 years on this radio station. Whatever that was, it was very racist.
Thanks, there.
The story that made it onto the front page of Newsday. With
playing the platters that matter.
The headline on Newsday, though, was Jacked FM. Oh,
Jacked FM. Okay.
There was no porn, guys.
Yeah.
The station manager had only been there a week.
Oh.
And that really bummed him out. Like, yeah. This is just, and it's a federal offense.
Totally. So, he's got FCC fines and all that.
The station was like, we are going to catch these perps no matter what we do. They offered 10 grand in a reward for information, you know, leading to the capture. Mm-hmm. Management said, quote, we condemn their actions and their harmful words, are asking for a full investigation into this matter by the FCC, and are contacting local authorities to assist us into finding out who did this.
The old station manager.
They never found out who did this.
Yes.
It's probably the old station manager. We just cracked the case.
Yes, there you
done.
Go. You're
dun,
welcome.
Dun.
Thanks, WBAB.
Another anonymous and offensive song hijacking occurred across the pond in the UK in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
In June of July of that year, Mansfield 103.2 FM in Mansfield, Nottinghamshire, England.
Always what I listen to when I'm in Mansfield.
Hijacked. Yeah. 8 different times in 1 month.
Yes.
So the hijacker would like talk and scream and then play one particular song called The Winkers Song by British comedian Ivor Biggin.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm
These are all real words?
Can I read you some of the lyrics?
Oh, please.
My mother said that I never should play with the naughty rude girls in the wood. Their giggling talk I could never understand. And that's why I fell in love with my right hand.
Oh.
And that's why I'm a wanker. I'm a wanker. And it does me good like it bloody well should.
Oh, wow.
It goes on and on.
You know, when I was in high school, I was on a rugby team. It was not related to the high school, but it was a club team, right? And our team name was the Davis Wankers. And we had shirts that would say, we either beat you on the field or we will beat you off.
Zarin.
I'm telling you.
Zarin.
So I think the British humor.
Did no adults step in and say inappropriate?
It was a British sport. We were just trying to be in the spirit of rugby. We didn't know
God.
We were, you know. we were taking cues from this fellow.
Yeah, basically. So the UK's communication regulator said it was taking the incident extremely seriously.
I hope they were.
8 times this happened. Engineers at the station, they're like working furiously to trace the signal, identify the hijacker. They needed to put a stop to it. But the managing director of Mansfield 103.2 said, quote, there is absolutely nothing we could do about it, and we're trying very hard to do something about it. We're told by Ofcom, who are investigating the matter, that you only need, and this is the frightening thing, a small transmitter. And if you can get near where there is an outside broadcast or a signal, and you can overpower that signal, you're on the airwaves.
Boom.
The perps were never found.
Yeah, yeah. Science.
They got away with 8 times. So, staying in England, we get to a good one,
Ooh.
A big one.
So they've all been good so far.
So good. Southern Television covered parts of Southern England. You know,
oh,
that makes
right.
Sense.
They're Southern too. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
And it had broadcast transmitters in Dover, Bluebell Hill, and Hannington.
Ah, of course.
And it was the official license holder for ITV.
I do know that. Yes.
Yeah, so you know that station. Yeah. Zarin,
yes.
Close your eyes.
Oh, my eyes are closed.
I want you to picture it.
Yes.
It's Saturday, November 26, 1977. You are a lighting technician for Southern Television. Your name is Nigel. You
yes.
wear turtlenecks every day.
Yeah, oh my God.
And loafers.
Dream life.
And you eat a sleeve of digestive biscuits every day. It's 5 p.m., and the brief top of the news read is starting, beamed in from London. You're sitting off to the side of the studio, reading a magazine and half-watching the feed of the broadcast on a small TV monitor. As soon as the news is over, Looney Tunes starts, and then you'll pay attention. You love Looney Tunes, huge Tweety fan. The ITV newscaster Andrew Gardner intones, the Rhodesian nationalist leader, Bishop Abel Moseriwa, has accepted Mr. Smith's offer to negotiate an internal settlement based on one man, one vote. But he says there are conditions. These include stopping the executions of all captured prisoners of war. The feed crackles away. Suddenly, a voice takes over the feed, booming through the speakers in the studio.
This is the voice of Kumar, representative of the Ashtar Galactic Kumar, speaking to you. For many years, you have seen us as knights and as scoundrels. We speak to you now and hope you send us them as we have done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth.
You drop your magazine and head over to the control booth. Are there aliens communicating with us? Engineers frantically work the control table. For 5.5 minutes, the voice booms on. You scream and run outside, searching the skies for UFOs. One of the engineers comes out to get you. She tells you that there are no aliens involved. The station feed has just been hijacked. They may have to cut to studio content, so they need you back inside. You head to your work area, and while the chaos in the control booth continues, you see that the monitor is showing Looney Tunes just as expected. So, as it said, this is the voice of Vrillin, the representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command, speaking to you. For many years, you have seen us as lights in the skies. We speak to you now in peace and wisdom, as we've done to your brothers and sisters all over this, your planet Earth. It's kind of hard to listen to anyway. So what is Ashtar Galactic Command? It kind of starts off with George Van Tassel, an American ufologist.
Mm-hmm.
He lived out in the Mojave Desert, as you do.
A lot of them do.
Oh, totally. So one day he met Frank Kritzer, a weirdo who said he worked in a mine somewhere near Giant Rock, which is a 7-story boulder near Landers, California, in the Mojave Desert.
I'll take your word for it.
This is in the 1930s. And so Kritzer, he was under suspicion of being a German spy.
Ah!
And he took his own life with a dynamite explosion during a police siege at the Rock in 1942.
Seeming a little guilty.
Little bit.
A little bit Bundesty.
Van Tassel, he eventually moved away from the desert. He became an aircraft mechanic and a flight inspector.
Mm-hmm.
And between 1930 and 1947, he worked for Douglas Aircraft, Hughes, Lockheed.
All the big ones.
Yeah. 1947, he moved back to the desert with his family.
Okay.
And at first, he and his family moved into the rooms that Frank Kritzer had, like, dug out under Giant Rock.
Oh.
They lived like mole people's errand.
Wow.
Then Van Tassel eventually built a house, a cafe, a gas station, a store, an airstrip, and a guest ranch right next to the Rock.
Okay.
In 1953, he started hosting group meditation in a room underneath Giant Rock. And
group meditation.
According to Van Tass, around that same time, an alien that arrived in a spaceship from the planet Venus woke him up one night.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
There you go.
The alien, Ashtar.
He's like, can I get in on the meditation?
Yeah. He's like, well, no. He's like, please, sir, come with me. Come aboard my UFO.
Oh, the other end.
And
yeah.
And that was there that Ashtar, both verbally and telepathically, gave him a technique for rejuvenating the human body.
Mm.
You know,
that's handy.
So handy.
Always getting run down.
So 1954,
yes.
Van Tassel and the others, they start building what they call the Integraton.
Yeah, the Integraton.
That's going to perform said rejuvenation.
Need some numbers, though. The Integraton 5000.
Yeah, exactly. So according to Van Tassel, the Integraton was to be a structure for scientific research into time, anti-gravity, and extending human life.
Some of my favorite interests.
It's all of your favorite interests. Van Tassel said that by accessing the universal mind, he could receive messages not just from Ashtar, his UFO buddy.
Oh, nice.
But from humans who died, like Nikola Tesla.
Oh, so it's like a space phone.
Yeah, and Tesla gave Van Tassel instructions to build the Integraton.
Oh, that's handy. He's good with stuff. I mean, he builds
the best
stuff. He's
really good with stuff. So the Integraton was a domed wood structure with a rotating metal thing on the outside.
He loves rotating things.
And metal and wood and domes. This thing was called an electrostatic dirod. The rotating metal thing.
Tesla would have had a better name, but go on.
Well, Van Tassel said that it was made of non-ferromagnetic materials, wood, concrete, glass, fiberglass.
Okay.
No metal screws
or
nails.
Yeah.
The project was the focus of the, quote, Ministry of Universal Wisdom.
Ah, they're back at it.
Yeah. It was an organization that, like, investigated and encouraged the healing arts.
Uh-huh.
But they were mainly concerned with gathering information about UFO sightings.
They wanted to talk to aliens.
Yeah. So the Ministry of Universal Wisdom, they taught that...
the Ministry of Universal Wisdom.
All humans have the power to tap into the universal mind of God.
Oh, of course. Why
which
not?
Which facilitates evolutionary progress, such as that exemplified by Jesus and Ashtar.
And apparently the universe loves committees, groups.
Exactly.
Really, it wants there to be some kind of Robert's Rules of Order.
Exactly. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's use our universal minds to think about this. And when we come back, we're going to find out more about Ashtar and the Southern Television incident.
And hopefully the Commission on Universal Justice.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
So Southern Television, they're running an ITV news broadcast that was interrupted by Vrilon.
Oh, yes. Vrilon, I remember Vrilon.
Representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command.
One of my favorite galactic commands.
Dude spoke for like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm not going to read you the whole script, but here are some highlights.
Please.
We come to warn you of the destiny of your race and your world so that you may communicate to your fellow beings the course you must take to avoid the disaster which threatens your world and the beings on our worlds around you.
Mm.
All your weapons of evil must be removed. That's another good talking point.
Are your weapons, are your base, are belong to us.
Correct. Be aware that also that there are many false prophets and guides at present operating in your world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, duly noted. You must learn to be sensitive to the voice within that can tell you what is truth and what is confusion, chaos, and untruth.
Mm.
This is all just good advice.
Yeah, it's handy.
We of the Ashtar Galactic Command thank you for your attention. We are now leaving the planes of your existence. May you be blessed by the supreme love and the truth of the cosmos.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Hippie aliens. You got to love it. Hippie space traveling aliens.
They're very gentle.
Just vibe onto us. Get on our level.
Now, here's the thing, though.
Love, babies.
Researcher Marissa, discoverer of all things weird and amazing, found a website.
What did she find?
AshtarCommandCrew.net.
Command crew. I can join the crew.
You know if the URL ends in .net, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a straight up loony bin over there. Hold the Tweety. They're all about like eclipse fears and anti-vax talk, murmurs of dark cabals.
Oh, yes.
And get encouragement to buy gold.
Of course, you know.
It's like a potpourri of conspiracy world, theories. Yeah. Chakra clearing with crystalline consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about crystalline beings upon the earth.
Mm.
4D and 5D ascension plans.
What? Yeah. They got the 5D ascension plans?
They got the plans.
I've been looking for those.
You cannot stream Three Daughters on the website.
That's one thing they don't have. Yeah.
So they're keeping the dream alive, but not really, because I don't think that's what Van Tassel or the broadcast hijackers had in mind.
I'm not thinking so.
Back to the hijack. So, you know, it takes it over. Imagine you're just a person watching the news, waiting for the Looney Tunes to come on.
Okay, so it's 3 p.m.
And you get this, it's 5, and you get this 5-minute dialogue from aliens.
Uh-huh.
And again, there are some among us who are maybe a little more gullible, naive, or like, you know,
why
fragile.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm looking at myself. I'm holding a mirror. Who would think, oh my God, the time has come.
Anyway, I would totally would. I'd be right there. Running through
out.
My windows.
Think about like War of the Worlds.
Yeah, no, it depends on how convincing, but I could be convinced, I'm sure, so eventually.
According to a 20... Well, the thing is that like it didn't break completely into the broadcast, that you could kind of see some of the Looney Tunes behind it and like hear the talk.
Coming through, like interrupting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, you didn't have like the internet, so you could go and check and see what's going on. You'd have to call people and be like, are you watching this?
Is this happening on your TV or do I need to adjust my meds?
And you think like if it's just a small rural area, they're not going to, like, you're not going to know someone in London to call and ask.
Yeah, good point.
You're just going to call your neighbor and they're oh, snap, I looked at it too.
Yeah.
You know, they're all going to get us. So back to the hijack.
Blimey, Nigel.
According to a 2013 piece in Kernel magazine, like popcorn,
with a K.
Not the Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, not the Sanders.
None of the evening staff at Southern Television were aware of the intrusion to their signal. International Broadcasting Authority engineers in Croydon, Surrey, did not hear the rogue signal, nor was it detected at the main transmitter site in Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
So it just came in blindly, silently. However, immediately after the broadcast, panicky viewers flooded police telephones with calls, and police said they had to send a patrol to one elderly woman's home to calm her.
What was she
doing?
No,
they weren't menacing in the thing. The thing is just like, be good to each other and we love you and we'll be back.
They're like, oh my God!
Yeah, exactly. She's just like having like a, you know, hyperventilating. The police said, quote, all we could do was reassure them it was a hoax. But like the calls just kept coming in.
Interesting.
Southern Broadcast.
Tell me to be nice.
Southern Broadcast apparently had to broadcast reassuring messages to calm worried viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Engineers figured the interruption must have originated at the very rural Hannington transmitter, the Hannington one. Local police went to the Hannington transmitter, but like, you know, no one was there. And there was no equipment left behind. So some experts thought that in order to do this at the time, you'd have needed like really big, heavy equipment, huge batteries, to power this.
Yeah.
So the lack of those things. Yeah, the lack of them pointed some to think that, like, maybe this was from beyond.
Of course. That's the only other answer.
And so
batteries must be from beyond the stars.
The interruption made local and national news, and it was picked up by UPI, so it made over to, you know, U.S. papers.
Yeah.
After the incident, Britain's Independent Broadcast Authority, they launched an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the police, the post office, the Independent Broadcast Authority, and even the Home Office were involved. So that's like, you know, everybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They figured that even though the police didn't find anything there, it probably happened at the Hannington transmitter.
Yes.
And so 4 days later, November 30th, 1977, it was reported that the engineers had figured out how it happened. But a spokesman told the press, quote, we'd have a fair idea of how it happened, but obviously we're not going to release details, for this might inspire another hoax. But we're taking steps to ensure it will not happen again, and viewers are not frightened.
Very important.
Very important.
We don't want the trauma.
No.
See, I'm learning.
So they later said, quote, a hoaxer jammed our transmitter in the wilds of North Hampshire by taking another transmitter very close to it. And so
I love that it's just physical proximity and you can then just basically get the antenna
waves,
to work for you and you just go, oh,
yeah, exactly. So they figured that like the people who did it had to have a good amount of technical knowledge in order to pull this off.
More than my sound effect. Yeah.
So a spokesman for Southern Television said, quote, we can't imagine how it was done, but it appears someone must have managed to transmit a signal over ours. The equipment used would need to be fairly sophisticated and expensive.
Hmm.
So that's when they start thinking, like, this has to be like someone in the industry to have this equipment.
Or the military.
So they said that if they were caught, they were going to be fined £200. Mm-hmm. That's like $360 at the time under the Wireless Act. Mm-hmm. A lot of people figured it was a student prank and that maybe they used a car battery for power. Or maybe it was
multiple.
But then people were saying that's not enough. Figured, was it a disgruntled engineer? Colonel Mag later explained how they thought the interruption had occurred.
What about a generator truck? The military has those.
Yeah, true. This is how a colonel came up with the idea. Quote, the local television transmitter is the likely source of the rogue transmission. Unusually for a transmitter serving such a large area, the Hannington transmitter merely received and rebroadcasted a signal sent from Roebridge on the Isle of Wight. With the sound being transmitted as an FM broadcast, it was easy to take over the transmission.
Yes.
All they had needed to do was drive up the transmitter at Hannington and broadcast on the same FM frequency as the transmission from the Isle of Wight.
Yep.
The Hannington television transmitter sits in the English countryside. Whoever took over the signal would have had to travel along the small roads leading to the hillside transmitter.
It's a signal repetition. That's interesting.
Yeah. So even though, you know, authorities said that it had been hacked, the there's all these conspiracy theories around it, and mainly centering around that, yes, it really were, it was extraterrestrials. It was aliens.
Of course, it was obviously aliens.
See ashtarcommandcrew.net.
Hot Rod Crew.
Yeah, so the government, they made it clear that they weren't planning on pressing charges, and no one ever publicly confessed to the hack. However, in late 2022, a limited-run podcast called The Interruption came out with the intent of investigating the case. The host spent most of 2022 trying to get to the bottom of it. Eventually, he heard about a radio pirate who called himself Roger Tate, who had a regular show on London's pirate Radio Invicta. Roger Tate's real name was Bob Tomalski, and he was a big part of London's pirate radio scene in the 70s. Robert, or Bob, had in fact built Invicta's transmitter, which enabled, quote, ordinary radios to pick up the station. And so he has this giant transmitter. His studio is in his own home. He was later known as the Gadget Guru or Inspector Gadget, reviewing tech gadgets for a lot of different websites. He died in 2001, but according to his friends, he loved sci-fi and he loved pranks. And so the podcast talked to a friend of Bob's, a guy named Laurie Hallett, who had known Bob in his early pirate radio days. And Dr. Hallett now works as a senior lecturer in radio at the University of Bedfordshire. So he also spent 8 years at Ofcom, the UK's communication regulating agency. And that's where he, quote, developed and implemented policies around community radio and digital audio broadcasting. So basically his buddy policed pirate radio. So the buddy told the Interruption podcast that Bob never actually confessed that he'd done the prank, but that one time he just played the audio tape of it. And then after what was supposed to be the very last episode of the Interruption, the host gets contacted by a man named Adam, who's another radio pirate. And he said he'd also been a friend of Bob's and that Bob had, in fact, confessed that he'd done the hijack.
I like it.
And he said he did it because, quote, you can.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And he's a geek and he's like, why not?
No ulterior motive. According to Adam, Bob didn't believe in the alien message, but he wanted it to sound plausible and kind of funny. So he spent time crafting the message and the sound that went with it. Adam said that Bob likely did have cohorts in the prank, but no one has admitted to it. And then Adam also said Bob never confessed because his career had grown after his pirate radio days. Didn't want to put it into jeopardy.
Totally.
So, Zarin.
And that's not quite a deathbed confession.
No, not at all. What's your ridiculous takeaway?
Oh, man. I didn't think there was going to be much more after, like, the Max Headroom. But, I mean, that was spicy.
It was super spicy.
Yeah. Ooh, goodness. No, but I really like Bob at the end. He was my favorite.
Bob's good. Yeah. I love that, like, we have a little coda on that one.
What's yours, Elizabeth? What's your ridiculous takeaway?
I don't have one.
All right, see, I'm not going to ask anymore.
Don't do it.
Just keep acting like this.
But you know what I do need? Yes. I don't need a ridiculous takeaway. I need a talk back.
I'm going to take over the airwaves with this one.
Talk back. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey guys, my name's Eric from Tennessee. I really appreciate your podcast. I think it's a load of fun. I was listening to the Diploma Mills podcast, and when you told Zarin to picture this and started your description, I knew exactly who you were talking about and thought, holy crap, they're talking about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. My mom was snowed by those losers, and I hope she's learned her lesson, but we'll see. Anyway, keep up the good work, and I'll keep on enjoying.
I love that he knew immediately
who
it was.
I know. I love it. Oh, his poor mom. These are terrible people.
But a great fashion icon, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Tammy Faye Baker. I mean, come on.
I guess.
Drag queens are still talking about her.
Well, that's it for today. You can find us online at RidiculousCrime.com. We're also at RidiculousCrime on Twitter, Instagram, Truth Social. Email us at RidiculousCrime@gmail.com. Leave a talkback on the iHeart app. Reach out. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by radiant being of Aquarian light, Dave Kustin. Research is by Ashtar's talent agent, Marissa Brown, and UFO mechanic, Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by Morning Drive Time shock jocks Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben Solidarity Now Bolin and Noel Solidarity Forever Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.